northern flank. Richard Ginsburg leaned against the wall, breathing hard. Walking was difficult for him, and the others had taken turns helping to support him. His muscles were painfully weak and wasted. Ryan noticed that the Freezy's way of walking was slightly peculiar. Each foot lifted rigidly, then set down with an unusual firmness. Ginsburg also kept clenching and unclenching his fingers, as though they were stiff and sore. Ryan had, as gently as he could, given him a spotty version of history from the October morning when Richard Neal Ginsburg had last seen the light of day, up to the present morning, 100 eternal years later. The Freezy had taken the news fairly well, in spite of Doc's concern for his sanity. Ryan sketched in what he knew of the end of civilization, the long winters, the barren wastes and frothing hotspots, the changes in the land and in the climate, and the changes in the people. Ginsburg had asked surprisingly few questions.
When I saw you all sporting guns, I guess something was bad. Had to be. Of course, when I went under, the war talk was louder. Same old faces and voices. Hatred. I was born and raised on growing hatred, and once that, I can't remember his name, the Russian leader who talked peace. Once he was toppled, word was, the CIA brought him down. It all went downhill.
He'd cautiously asked how many had died in the first waves of missiles. Ryan told him that nobody knew the answer to that. All records were gone, and the months immediately following the devastation were known as the Lost Days. Rick's parents had lived in a neat apartment in a brownstone on the Lower East Side of New York. All that Ryan, helped by Doc and Christy, could tell was that every city had been hit hard and often. There was a 100% death rate in all major metropolises, and for people within the heat core, death would come like the snuffing of a light.
It was a single microsecond of surprise, and then an infinite merging with the cosmos.
What's kind of hard is the sheer knowledge that every person I ever met in my entire life is now dead. Most died within a few miserable weeks of my being frozen. Now I'm here and I'm all on my fucking own. I'm still dying and what's the point of it all, huh? I mean, what's the point?
Despite urging, particularly from JB, Rick steadfastly refused to carry a blaster.
Sorry, John. I'm a little of a peacenik in my own way. I abhor violence. From what you've been telling me, I guess I might have to get used to a mighty different world from the one I knew. Maybe in some ways I might like it better, but tote a pistol? Oh, thanks, but no thanks.
What was odd was that he hadn't shown much interest in precisely who Ryan and the others actually were, or how they'd gotten into the Triple Secure Redoubt, or how they moved around the Deathlands. At Doc's suggestion, Ryan hadn't pestered Rick about what he'd done back before the Megachill. The fact that it had been highly classified meant it could be an area of his life that might provoke a strong and upsetting reaction. The outside doors of the redoubt swung open on the familiar 352 code. Jack led the way into the fresh air, the other six following him. Rick leaned on Christie's arm, bringing up the rear.
Oh, to see the sun and taste the breeze. Whatever happens, I've seen this once more. Why is the sky that strange purplish color?
Strange. It's nearly always that color.
It wasn't always so, Ryan. What our new companion says is correct. The skies were always blue when I was a lad. Yellow sun, white clouds. Not the hideous hues of chem clouds and the dark nuke sky that haunts us all.
How come you remember that, Doc? I mean, nobody's that old.
It is a tale told by an idiot, Richard. Told by me. Too difficult to comprehend or even to believe. One day, when you are somewhat recovered, I will tell you.
Speaking of believing, in your travels, you ever came across, maybe in one of these redoubts, anything called a gateway, did you?
Before anyone could stop her, Lori leapt in with both feet.
Of course, Stoop! That's how we always are getting around Deathland. Jump and jump in gateways.
Once again, nobody looked at the Freezy. Ryan stared across the narrow blacktop that vanished steeply over the brink of the hillside. Beyond it was a sweep of valley, disappearing into some thick forest. There was no sign of a vill anywhere.
Okay, just a damn minute. Did I hear you right, Lori?
Yeah!
You guys use gateways? They still work? Sweet! They still work! 100 years after the bombs and they still work! Wow!
What do you know about Mattrans? Is that why you were given the high B sec rating, Mr. Ginsburg?
I can't tell you. It's classified. Wait, what the hell am I saying? Oh, this is weird, guys. Like dropping a tab of the best Nicaraguan acid. You've been using the gateways. Which ones? Where?
You worked on them, didn't you? That was the reason for your high sec rating. You know all about gateways and jumps. Fireblast, you got plenty to tell us, friend.
If we're going to get some miles before dark, Ryan, we'd best get started. Talk and come later.
Ryan ignored the good advice, glaring at Rick.
Is it true?
I don't know.
What do you mean? You must know what your bastard job was.
Well, I think it might have been something about gateways. I can't remember. My head hurts. I'm tired and confused. Okay, why don't you just leave me alone, please?
Please. You could hold the key to information that might alter all our lives.
Ryan, it's a good walk down there, and the freezy's in poor shape. Don't want to get caught by dark halfway down the mountain. Come on, Ryan.
Sure. Yeah, you're right, JB. I know that. But Rick, get your memory working, and we'll talk later. You got lots to tell us.
It was a difficult journey. In several places, the road had been washed away by torrential rains or shattered by quakes. When they were about a quarter of the way down, JB stopped and drew out his tiny pocket sextant, checking where they actually were in the Deathlands. Rick Ginsburg sat slumped on a huge boulder, head in his hands, panting with exhaustion. The trail was high, and Ryan was conscious of the thin air. His heart was working harder than usual, and any effort was more tiring. There was a marvelous vista to enjoy to their west. The orange sun was sliding down amid a nest of feathery thundertops, tinted a light purple.
What are the mountains, Doc?
They look like the old Sierra Nevadas from the shape and feel of them. But if we're in the High Sierras, then I'm puzzled at what that is, way away to the west, beneath the setting sun.
It's a lake! Big, big lake, far as I can see.
Can't be, sweetness. There is no lake of that size hereabouts. We must be a good 20 miles or more away from it, and yet it looks utterly vast. Ergo, we are not in the Sierras.
Wrong, Doc.
JB folded the sextant and slipped it into one of his infinitely capacious pockets.
Wrong?
Yeah, wrong. We're close by the Pacific. These are the Sierras, all right. This is what used to be called California.
But the ocean never came this close to such high peaks unless...
Rick stood up, his pale face beaded with sweat.
You say this was California? That's bullshit. There's no place in the state where you can see the Pacific.
His eyes, magnified behind the thick lenses, turned to Doc.
Unless... You were going to say, weren't you? Unless the whole...
Trader'd been here several times over the years, and he told me what happened out west here.
San something. Andreas, that was it. The San Andreas Fault.
That's the name. Trader said that the nukes came down thicker than fleas on a gaudy house mattress. Hit lots of places along California.